You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, man, I want to welcome everyone on campus here at The Loop, those online, Cypress, Siena, downtown. It's so great to gather together as a church, isn't it? Man, to be able to sing together, be able to worship the Lord, and just to be gathered together, it is so, so, so encouraging. I'm so stoked to be here with you guys. It's truly an honor. I get to serve at our church as the college minister. And so on the screens, I'll show up a little photo of our college students. This is our spring retreat that we were able to squeeze in right before COVID-19, which is awesome. And we had a great time with that at the church property hunt retreat, which is awesome. I want to tell you just a little bit about myself. I came to this church in 2013 as a college student, just looking to get involved in a ministry. And so, and found the college ministry as a great place to find community, to grow in my walk with the Lord. I had no intention to go into ministry. I was a geophysics major at the University of Houston, of all things. And about a year later, after being at this church, I was asked to be an intern. And little did I know that one yes to being a college intern would result in just the entire, my life entirely changing. And so it's truly an honor to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. I met my wife here at this church, Dakota. She's here in the audience, and just awesome that we met here at the Loop campus in the college ministry room. So with all of that, I mean, I'm so excited to dive into the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, grab your Bible. So here at the Loop, online, Cypress, Siena, downtown, grab your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to be at in our time together. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's a letter to the church in the New Testament. So if you are in the Old Testament, or if you're kind of in the Gospels, hanging out with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're great letters. It's awesome stuff. Keep going back further in your Bible to Hebrews 10. If you're in Revelation, you are way too excited about Pastor Greg's new sermon series on Revelation next week. So I'm excited about it. Can't wait for Pastor to lead us through the book of Revelation. But for today in our time, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be starting in verse 19. I've titled this message, Better Than 6 Feet. And before COVID-19, 6 feet wouldn't have really meant much to us, would it? Maybe it'd just been a generic metric of length that might have been how tall we wish we had been. But 6 feet didn't really mean a whole lot to us before COVID-19. But now all of us know what 6 feet is because we know that that's the CDC recommendation and guideline for practicing social distancing. And so every single place that you go, you see 6 feet, don't you? You go to the grocery store and you see 6 feet on every single aisle. You see 6 feet, a reminder to stay 6 feet apart in every grocery store. You see it on the door, you see it on the floor, you see it every single place that you go. We're constantly reminded of this 6 feet distance. And I want to quickly say that I'm definitely not suggesting a better than 6 feet guideline. We should obey the CDC guideline. We should love our neighbor and practice social distancing as best we can. But what I do want us to consider is that maybe 6 feet apart social distancing isn't the only kind of distancing that's happening in your life right now. We're all used to being 6 feet apart from one another, but maybe during this time of COVID-19, as it's been a difficult season, maybe a discouraging season, a trying time for all of us for sure, 2020 has been hard. That maybe because of all of these things, we're not just finding ourselves 6 feet apart from one another, we're finding ourselves six feet apart from the Lord. And that we've just kind of slowly drifted away from God. We've gone, maybe hit it into cruise control. Maybe you just kind of found yourself just kind of going through the spiritual motions. I know for me, when church went online, it was just like this real quick shift. And I was like, whoa, what am I going to do? We're not gathering together in person. It's a little bit different. It was discouraging. It was hard to really come in and worship the Lord in the same way. And so in some ways, it caused just a little bit of distance in my walk with the Lord. And maybe you felt the same thing. And I want to quickly encourage us that our position before God does not change. We are in Christ by grace through faith, or we're not in Christ at all. And so our position before God does not change. It is secure in Jesus, but our fellowship with God, our intimacy with God, our day-to-day walk in relationship with God does change on whether or not we are spending time with Him. And so I don't know where you are today, Loop. I don't know where you are today online, but I do know that what God wants to do is He wants to encourage us, that He wants better than 6 feet relationship with us, that God doesn't want us to stay far from Him. He doesn't want us to stay at a distance from Him. He wants better than 6 feet relationship with us. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and let's see the better than 6 feet relationship that God desires for us and with us. So Hebrews 10, verse 19, going to read through verse 21. Follow along with me. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Verse 21, and since we have a great high priest over the household of God. And so I'm going to pause there for just a second. There is a truth in these couple of verses that we absolutely need to know and believe in here today. It is a truth that is going to carry us through the difficulties of this pandemic. It is a reality that is absolutely going to change the way that we live our lives. And the truth is this, that Jesus is better. And if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you, grab your message notes. Jesus is better online. Jesus is better. That the book of Hebrews is all about elevating and exalting the betterness of Jesus, that Jesus is better and greater and superior because Jesus, through his blood and through his finished work on the cross, has purchased our salvation. And so because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the book of Hebrews and we as believers should exalt him as better. That Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords because of what he has done for us on the cross. And so this declares to us this powerful truth that Jesus is better. Man, every time you look on the news, though, all you hear is worse, 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 don't you? Just constantly bombarded with things that are going downhill, things aren't going well, markets tanking, et cetera, et cetera. Things are always just worse and worse and worse. Oh, but God in his word, he wants to encourage us today that Jesus is better and that can be a truth that can just carry us through this season of life. And so here's what I want us to do. I know with online church, one of the things that I loved is when Pastor Greg would do the call and response moments. And if you've been at Houston's First for a while, you know that Pastor Greg is always doing that. He's always getting us to interact and dialogue with one another, repeat things after him. It's an encouragement for sure, a great way to remember it. And so this is the truth that I want us to declare together right here and right now. So Loop, online, Cypress, Siena, downtown, we're going to declare this phrase, Jesus is better, together on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is better. Good. But we could do a little bit better. We could do a little bit louder because we know that Jesus is better. So come on, Luke. Come on, online. Let's say it together a little bit louder. Jesus is better on three. One, two, three. Jesus is better. Come on. That's good. That's good. That's what we need to hear today. So we need to hear today. And here's what the passage is going to do. It says, Jesus is better. His blood is better. He has done all these things for us. And so because Jesus is better, we are called to live differently. That because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done for us on the cross, we are now called and invited to live differently. And what God is going to do is he's inviting us into a better than 6 feet relationship with himself because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so look with me. We're going to see three specific ways that Jesus calls us to live differently because of what Jesus has done. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Follow along with me. The word of God says this, let us draw near because Jesus is better. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. And so this passage says that because Jesus is better, because of what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross, we are invited to draw near into the presence of God. And that through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with the Father in heaven. And so we can experience nearness to God. And it's a nearness that we need right now. It's a nearness that our hearts and our souls desperately need as we walk through 2020, as we go through the pandemic. And I'm sure something's coming up next week that's going to shake and rattle us a little bit. And so we need nearness to God in this time. So draw near. Here's the invitation. Bring your heart before God. Draw near. Bring your heart before God, that he is inviting us into this personal, intimate, close relationship with the Lord, that we don't need to stay 6 feet apart from God, that we don't need to kind of just stay where we are, but he's inviting us to draw near to him, to abide in him, to spend time with him. Did you know that God wants you to spend time with him? Like, he wants you to bring your heart to him. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's inviting you into that. And so because of Jesus, let's draw near and let's bring our hearts before him. And let's not miss this. This is something really important. It says that we draw near, and it's not because of who you are. You don't draw near because of what you've done. I'm not drawing near because of what Jared's done. not drawing near because of who I am. I'm drawing near because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done. And we don't need to miss that because, listen, it's not drawing near because you're a good person. It's not drawing near because you just kind of think that you've done more good than bad. So, okay, this week I'm going to draw near, but man, I'm on kind of a little bit of a struggle bus, so I'm not going to draw near this week. No. We draw near because of Jesus' blood. And so because of that, we can draw near in faith because it's not based on who I am or what I've done. It's based on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That's why we draw near. And so because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and watched over us, we can draw near in faith instead of shrinking back in fear. You see it? We can draw near in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, not shrink back in fear. So we don't need to shrink back in fear. We don't need to stay far from God. We can draw near to him with no fear, with no guilt, no shame, no hesitation, and with no condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we can draw near and bring him our whole hearts. And we can come before him, not in fear, but we can draw before him in faith because of the blood of Jesus. And God is inviting us into this incredible relationship. And so you can bring him your heart today. You can bring God your worries, your fears, your anxieties. You can bring God your frustrations, your angers. You can bring God and just be like, God, what in the world has happened in 2020? He wants that. He can take it. He's not bothered by it. It's not a burden to him. God wants your heart. And the invitation for us today, church, is that we would draw near and bring our hearts before him. So Jesus is better. He invites us to draw near and continue on in this passage. We're going to look now at verse 23. See the second way that Christ is going to call us to live differently. It says this. It says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. I love roller coasters and I love theme parks and all that kind of stuff. I hope there's some roller coaster amusement park people here in the room with me. I remember going with my parents to Astroworld. Anybody remember Astroworld? Come on. Yes. Let's bring it back, you know? I still can't figure out why it's not here. Like, we're like a huge city, right? And like, how do we not have an amusement park? It's fine. It's okay. Drive to San Antonio. Jesus is better. We're going to be okay with Astroworld. It's really fine. She's going to take me a moment. But I love roller coasters. And I love the rides, I love the crazy ones, you know, with all sorts of loops and turns and stuff. And there's lots of different kind of people on the rides. There's some people who just like to keep their hands like this the whole time, you know, or immediately they're like clenching onto the rail because they're a little bit scared of every single ride. Even the ones that only go like this, they're like, you know, there's some of you that's like that. It's okay, no worries. But I like to, you know, so I kind of put my hands up, kind of one of those kind of people who thinks they're like real strong and courageous. Like, oh, I'm going to put my hands up. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be cool. Get the thrill of it. Well, let me tell you what really gets to me is whenever those rides start going, I'm like, okay, I got my hands up. It's all good. But man, sometimes those roller coasters, like I put my hands up and I think I'm going to hit the rail, you know what I'm saying? Or it's like going so fast and it's not just kind of a cute little loop. It's like a real tight loop. And I'm like, whoa, my bottom's off the seat. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. And so what I do in that moment is I go from hands up to hands on the rail real quick. And that's the picture in this passage. That in the roller coaster of life that we're all experiencing right now, that in the ups and the downs and the loops and the turns that we are navigating in this time and in this year, that we would hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what the passage says. It says, hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So church, let's hold on and cling to a better source. Let's hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that we know that we know that we know with trust and belief and assurance that Jesus has purchased our salvation on the cross and that he died and was buried, but he rose again 3 days later and he has ascended into heaven. And so we hope today in Jesus and in the resurrection of Christ. And so we hold on to a better and deeper hope. But here's our tendency. Here's kind of our temptation. So when the ride of life gets tough, we find ourselves just kind of grasping at anything that we can get our hands on. And instead of holding on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, instead of holding on to him, we end up holding on to some of the other things in this world. And we start grasping at things that are a little bit easier to hold on to or convenient, things that are a little bit more tangible. So we hold on to some superficial hopes, some false hopes. And what those are is, man, it's like grasping at the air and holding on to nothing. So we find ourselves putting our hope in the economy, put our hope in the market, in our bank account, put our hope in our job, put our hope in our accolades, our awards, students, college students, put our hope in our academics and in our grades. Young adults, maybe we put our hope in our careers, what that's going to look like and how that's going to turn out. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. But what happens is when those things become a place of hope, they cannot carry and sustain our souls through the things of life. And so what we need to do, what we need the reminder of, is that God is giving to us a greater and stronger and better source of hope, a source that is an anchor for our souls. And so instead of clinging to the things in this world that cannot sustain us, let us cling to and hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a real practical way to do this. You just hold on to the Word of God. Because I know we like things tangible. I get it. It's hard sometimes to walk with the Lord, but listen, he has given to us his very word, and so we can hold on to the word of God instead of clinging to the words of man. We can cling to God's word instead of holding on and trying to grab the things of this earth. So it means that in the things that we go through in life, in COVID, in 2020, I want to encourage us, church, let's hold on to the word of God. Let's hold on to his promises because he who promised is faithful. So that means in your depression or isolation that you hold on to the truth of God's word that he is with you and that he is for you. In the darkest of times, in the loneliest of moments, that we hold on to the hope of God's word that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that is a great encouragement to us right now. That as we walk through some times where we're anxious, where we're worried, that we would cling to the word of God that says the peace of Christ surpasses all understanding and that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we walk through difficulties, discouraging moments, and hardships, that we would cling to God's word that he is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. And so as the road of life gets rough and bumpy, as we're on this kind of roller coaster of a year for sure, we need to hold on to something more steady and better, and that's the word of God in Jesus Christ. So I want to invite us to open God's word, read his word, cling to it, hold on to it for dear life, because it can sustain your soul. Everything else that we hold on to is going to let us down. I hate to break it to you. But anything that we hold on to besides the things of God are absolutely going to let us down at some point and at some time. And so I want to encourage us, the scripture wants to encourage us to hold on and cling to a better source that can carry our souls through the things that we are walking through. So Jesus is better. It's inviting us to draw near, better relationship with God, close, personal, intimate. Scripture calls us to hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And now it's going to continue on. It's going to give us one more area that we are called to live different because of Jesus. So look with me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. We're going to finish out this section. Here's what God's word says. It says, let us watch out for one another. Other translations are going to say, let us consider one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day approaching. And so in these last couple of verses, it is calling us to be the church and the people that we are called to be, which is that we are called to watch out for one another. This is a call to replace complacency with compassion, that we are called to watch out for one another with the love, the grace, the compassion, the mercy of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to consider one another's needs, not watch out for me, myself, and I, but to watch out for one another in our lives, in the church, in our families, that we would watch out and care for one another. But here's the concern and question that I have for us as we look at this verse. Called to watch out for one another, but I think that too often what we end up doing, instead of watching out for one another, we end up sitting back and just watching one another. You see the difference? You see, I think so often, instead of watching out for one another, caring for one another, doing the things that God has called us to do as the church and as the people of God, we end up just sitting back and just watching people. And we're all familiar with this because we all love the hobby of people watching, don't we? Like, I love going to airports. I like being at airports super early. Hit me up like 10 hours early. I will be there. I got no problems with it. I want to sit in the terminal. I want to feel good about my life that, yes, Lord, I am on time and I'm early. I will sit and watch a movie, read a book, do whatever. But I do not like going to the airports like 30 minutes ahead of time. Stresses me out. And one of the fun things about being at the airports is that you get some insanely awesome, entertaining people watching, don't you? You get to see people. Like, I watch the people who are coming in hot and coming in late, and they're like running. And I'm like, not today, not me. I'm here early. You know? Amen. And so what we like to do, you know, it's a fun thing. I do it a lot in different restaurants and stuff. We just sitting back and we just watch people. My concern is that we do the same thing in our personal lives and in the church. That we just sit back and we just watch people. We just sit back in complacency. We sit and we do this. We just sit back and we just scroll through, don't we? We just scroll through our phones, scroll through our messages, scroll through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Lord knows what's coming next week. There's going to be a new app, I'm sure. I don't even know what any of them are called anyways. So what we end up doing, though, is we just sit back and we just watch people. We just sit back and we just watch things. We sit back and we just watch the news, however you get your news. We just sit back and we just watch these things, but God is inviting us into something better and deeper with one another, which is not that we just sit back in complacency, but that we watch out for one another, that we step out in compassion with the compassion of Jesus Christ, and we watch out for one another. The first line of our Difference Makers Declaration at this church, if you've been here for any amount of time, you know this. The first line, it says this: I was made for more than watching. I love it. We are made for more than watching, believer. We are made for more than watching, church. We're made for more than watching online, and that has nothing to do with watching online. I'm so glad you're here. That has everything to do with the character of our heart. And we're not just sitting back and watching people, because we were made for more than that. So we're made for more than watching people drift from the Lord. We're made to watch out for people and help them draw near to the Lord. We're made for more than just sitting back and watching people struggle through the things of life. We're called to step into their lives and to encourage them that Jesus is better. We're made for more than just watching injustice. We're called to do justice. We are made for more than just watching people who are struggling in this year and in this 2020. And my goodness, did you know that there's people who are going through some hard times right now? We're made for more than just watching them. We are called to step into their lives and to watch out for one another and see how we can encourage them, point them to Jesus, and help them in their walks with God. And the Difference Maker Declaration continues to go. It says, I was made for more than watching because I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowered legacy to leave. And the prayer is, Jesus, that you would work deeply in me. Draw near. Hold on. And clearly through me. Watch out for one another. As I pray, give, and go, I am a difference maker in Jesus' name. And so, church, we're called to be difference makers. We're called to watch out for one another. It is who we are. It is what God's word invites us into. And so, church, let me ask us the question. Are we sitting back and watching people? Or are we watching out for people? I don't know what it's going to look like for you. It might mean sending a text message. It might mean a phone call. It might mean Zoom, it might be go to a restaurant, coffee shop, hang out at the house. We got lots of technology. There's lots of ways that we can encourage each other and watch out for each other. But what God's word is calling us to do is to replace complacency with compassion. And that we would be the church and the people that God has called us to be. And let me tell you, when the church is watching out for people and caring for people, the world takes notice. And man, the world needs to see the love of Jesus right now, don't we? You need to see the compassion of Christ in real life, in real time. And that's a calling on us as the church, that we would step out in obedience to God's word, that we would watch out for one another. It can be hard sometimes. You're stepping into the mess of people's lives. Man, it is what we are called to do. It is what Christ desires for us, and we do it because Jesus is better. That because Jesus is better, because we've been drawing near to him, because we've been holding on to him, we watch out for people because we want people to experience the same thing that we are. That we watch out for people because, man, I want to see people draw near to Jesus because I know how much I need nearness to Jesus and I know that they needed the same thing. Like, we're watching out for people who are holding on to all sorts of fake, false, superficial hopes, and that we would instead, that we would be like, oh, man, let me tell you, there's a better hope and his name is Jesus. Oh, his name is Jesus. Let me just give you a little quick advice. Do not send a text message and tell your friend, hey, I've been watching you. okay? Like, hey, I've been watching out for you. You know, that's weird. You will no longer have friends, okay? I hope that you would call somebody, send them a text, ask them to meet up, and when you meet up with them, just ask them, hey, how are you really doing? How's your soul? How's your heart? How's your walk with the Lord? You're not coming in with judgment, not coming in and tell them how to live their life. You're coming in, you're just caring for them. You're watching out for them and spurring them on towards love and towards good works. That's what we are called to do, church. That's what we're called to do. Here's the plea of the passage. I hope you've heard it loud and clear. Jesus is better. Therefore, we are called to live differently. And he is inviting us into a better than 6 feet relationship with himself. And so let's not go another day or moment 6 feet from the Lord. Oh, instead that we would draw near to him, that we would hold on to him, and that we would then respond in watching out for one another. I want to conclude our time with a little bit of reflection. Over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Greg has been encouraging us to do some heart work. And heart work is hard work, isn't it? To sit back, to reflect, to look at where we've been at in our walk with the Lord, where are we at in just our personal lives, and it's been a great challenge for me personally to be able to do that. So I want to end our time. I want to do some heart work. I want to ask us a couple of questions, just in reflection as we look at where we've been at in our walks with the Lord, as we reflect on this passage, as we seek to obey and walk in and live out the things that God desires for us. I just want to ask us a couple of questions. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. Just between you and the Lord, let me ask you these questions. Over the last couple of weeks and months, now ask the question, have you been drawing near to the Lord? Over the last couple of months of COVID-19, have you been drawing near to him, abiding in him, spending time with him? Have you been bringing him your heart? Or have you been staying distant? Now, if you've been drawing near to him, that's amazing. It's awesome. Keep doing it. Keep drawing near to him. Don't grow weary in it. And if you haven't, I don't want you to hear any guilt or shame. I want you to hear, draw near to Jesus today. That you would no longer settle at just being 6 feet apart from the Lord, keeping him at a safe distance where he has some of your heart, but not all of your heart, but that you would draw near to him and that you'd bring him your whole heart. If you've been drawing near to the Lord in this time. Over the last couple of months in this year of 2020, what have you been holding on to as your hope? What have you been holding on to as your hope? Let me say this. If you're not holding on to Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you're holding on to something in someone else. What is it that you've been holding on to? And if you're not holding on to Jesus, oh, would you release it? Would you release it? Would you hold on to the truth of God's Word, that you'd place your hope in Jesus Christ and hold on to him through this time? What have you been holding on to? Last question. With all the things that are happening in our world and our society, have you been watching people or watching out for people? It's going to look different for all of us. For some, it's been so encouraging to see from our church, people helping with hurricane relief efforts. That's amazing. That's incredible. And I hope you've been having conversations with people, watching out and caring for people in your life. Just ask the question, have you been watching people or watching out for people? As we reflect on these things, oh God, he just invites us into this better relationship. That because of Jesus and his blood, he's calling us and inviting us to draw near and to bring our hearts to him, to hold on to him with all we've got and hold on through the roller coaster of life. And as a result of that, I mean, he's calling us to watch out for other people. And I mean, a great, great, great thing. If you don't know Jesus, can't say it any more clear than I have today, Jesus is better. Would you place your faith and trust in him today? Like, do not leave this moment, do not leave this setting without knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So if you don't know Jesus, place your faith and trust in the cross of Christ today. And if you do know Jesus, I hope you are encouraged. I hope you're inspired. I hope you're seeing the kind of relationship that God wants with us, that you would feel so led to draw near to him, to bring him your heart. You would hold on to him, that we would watch out for one another. Let's respond to God's word. Let's respond to the Lord, because we know with boldness, with confidence, with full assurance of faith that Jesus is better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, we are able to draw near, to enjoy nearness to you, God, prayer with you, abiding with you. Oh, it's what we need. For those watching online, Cypress, Siena, downtown, here at the Loop, don't stay 6 feet apart from God. Don't withhold your heart from him. Don't keep him at a distance. God is inviting us to draw near to him today. So let's respond. Let's draw near and bring him our hearts. Let's respond to him. Oh, let's hold on to him. Let's watch out for one another. God, we pray that you'd work in our hearts, that you would do a heart work in us in this time. And as we've reflected on where we've been at in our walks with you, Lord, that you would lead us and that you would guide us to repentance and to obedience and to right relationship with you. So God, help us to respond to you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the cross. We're thankful for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.